Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, where we'll talk with real estate investors, entrepreneurs, business leaders, athletes, and more to inspire you with their success stories so you can work hard, never give up, and dream huge. And now, let's start the show.
Up, everybody. Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast. We love to share success stories from huge dreamers, folks in the real estate business, entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, influencers, and more. And hopefully these interviews and stories will help to motivate and inspire you to dream huge. And today we are joined by my co-host, JP for three, John Pavlansky. How you doing, sir?
I am doing tremendous, Pete. I am excited to talk about Mansfield today. And we got a very, very special guest that's close to home in Mansfield. So definitely excited to talk about Mansfield here today. And Pete, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing outstanding as always. Yes, we're talking about the greatest city on earth, Mansfield, sunny Mansfield, Ohio, baby. And we have the one and only mayor, newly appointed mayor of Mansfield, Jody Perry, in the house today. How you doing, Jody?
I'm good. I'm going to have to try to match your energy level, though.
Yes.
We always on here, so I like it.
Yeah. We always bring the high energy. We know you can match that energy. Absolutely.
I think I can dig deep.
Yes. Thank you for taking the time, Jody. Much appreciated. I know you're very busy in your new position. So first, let's dive into, what is it like being mayor? What does your day-to-day look like? And what is your vision for the city?
So let me start. What is it like to be mayor? It's really fun. It's very busy. Every day looks very different. So I was sharing a little earlier before we got on that, you know, I'm really enjoying just being able to do the job finally. You know, I first announced that I was running back at the middle of 2022. So, you know, it was like a year and a half of talking about it and planning. And so it's really nice just to be in the office now, working with the team here and really trying to push things forward instead of just saying, well, here's what I will do. So I'm enjoying that. You know, we have a lot of great department heads. We've got a great city council, other elected officials that I get to work with here. We're all really on the same team and wanting to see the community move forward. So that's really refreshing. And, you know, that kind of helps energize me every day. What does every day look like? Ooh, that's a good question. I'm in a lot of meetings. So, you know, my calendar has filled up quick, but I would, you know, right now I'm trying to split my time. So I want to spend about half of my time internal to the city. I've spent a lot of time going around to the different departments that we have, making sure that I'm aware, you know, I mean, some stuff I've dealt with for years, but there's whole parts of the city, you know, I didn't really ever deal with the water treatment plant or the fire department, places like that. So, you know, I have a lot to learn in those areas. So about half the time is doing that. And then the other half of my time is getting out in the community, doing things like this, visiting community leaders, just making sure that, you know, I'm in the loop, that they're in the loop, and we're kind of all pushing towards the same thing. So every day is a little different, but that suits my personality. I it's hard for me to sit still. And, you know, I told the city staff, like, look, I you won't find me in my office very much. That's how it was at the chamber too. I like to be out and talking to people. Mm-hmm. So, and then what was, oh yeah, my vision. So, you know, really, my vision is for the city to be kind of the shining beacon for our area, if you have to put it into words. But we're working on three priorities. So growth, which I know will be right up your alley, both from a commercial sense. We want more jobs coming into the city, whether they're industrial jobs out by the airport or, you know, small business on Main Street or Lexington Avenue. We want more jobs coming into the city, and then also residential growth, which again, up right up your alley. You know, we're kind of seeing all of us, Columbus is coming north, and we're seeing people leave Columbus because of the expense. They're having trouble finding housing. And we think that Mansfield can really be aggressive at trying to get some of those people up here. It'll help our, you know, they can help fill the jobs that we have and, you know, really help our community to grow. So that's kind of the number one priority, I guess, that I have, because that's really all about growing the pie. And that really has to happen first. Second, but, you know, just as important is infrastructure. So that's everything from our parks, which is always a hot topic, to our roads, to our water and sewer systems. You know, there's a lot of things that the city just has, and that's a unique piece and role that we play in the community. So making sure that we're taking good care of those, upgrading them when they need to, doing planning that we need to. And then last but certainly not least is safety, and really making sure that, you know, we've had some challenges with that recently. And so making sure that we're proactive, working with our police and fire departments certainly come under this area, but it's more than just those folks. And one of the things that I've talked about internally with our department heads is, look, your title may not be economic development, but that doesn't mean you don't help us grow the community. Or your title may not be chief of police, but that does not mean you don't have a role to play in the safety of our community. And so really trying to get everyone to be on that same page.
Excellent stuff. Getting everybody to buy in, getting everybody to do their part, plus that little extra we all can succeed. Okay, so I got a few questions about all of that, if you don't mind. Going back to the jobs and the growth, how do you plan to actually bring those jobs into the city of Mansfield?
So, you know, before I came to this role, I was running the Chamber of Commerce. So, you know, this is right in my wheelhouse and my background. So a couple things on this, of course, you know, working closely with the Chamber, they're the countywide economic development agency. I think it's key that the city have, you know, what we call shovel-ready sites in the industry. So, you know, that means you have land ready to go. Businesses, when they're evaluating something, they're looking at speed, risk, and money. So how quick can they get their business open? How risky is it going to be? Can they really deliver on everything they need to? And then how much is it going to cost? And so really, that's how we're really evaluating what we have in the city is, you know, how do we make sure that we're as competitive as any other community, not just in Ohio, but around the world? I mean, at this point, economic development is a worldwide game. And so, you know, the days of just competing with our neighboring community or the county next door are that's long gone. So that's a big piece. We're also doing a big push on marketing and really, you know, we're embracing the new brand that we've created, trying to give a positive perception of the community. There's a lot of great things happening here, but just like every other community, we sometimes have challenges. And so really trying to help both our residents as well as people from the outside to really see all the positive things. And, you know, in some cases that means we got to go to them. We have to tell them what we have available and ask them to come here. So, you know, those are kind of the big pieces that we're really working on currently. But, you know, there's been a lot of growth at the airport already, and we know more is coming. There's some in progress already. But, yeah, we'd love to get some other wins with some great new jobs coming to town.
Well, so talk to us a little bit about a couple things from that the land by the airport, how ready is it, and what does the price tag look like on that land?
So the available land, we call it in our Airport West Industrial Park, it is shovel ready. So the utilities are running to the right of way, which is kind of how Jobs Ohio would determine that. Actually, that business park was the first to be authenticated by Jobs Ohio, which is the state economic development agency. There is still some land available there. It's private. There's a private developer that owns it. So I don't have the exact price off the top of my head, but prices are going up just like in every other industry. And then, you know, we're really looking as a city at where else do we want to expand? There's still some more land out there. You know, there's been a lot of talk about where else does the city look at? And so one of the things that I want to do this year is a comprehensive plan, which would help us to map the future of the city. So really looking at if we were to add residential growth, where do we want that to go? Where do we see that going? If we were to bring in more industry, where should that go? And it's been, I mean, there's nothing in recent memory as far as a comprehensive plan. Let me put it that way. So it's time, more than time, for us to get ahead of that. So yeah, that's what we're focusing on.
Very good. JP, anything? I've been jumping in a lot.
No, you're good. You're good. I think that you were hitting a lot of things that are super important. I was going to dive more into the story. I know you had a couple other questions, Pete, so go ahead, hit those.
And into
her story a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to get to that for sure. What type of marketing specifically are we doing to attract these businesses or to attract those people to move from Columbus to here?
So right now we have all of our properties listed on the state's economic development site. And so making sure that that stays up to date. And, you know, in the industry, a lot of times it's site consultants that are reaching out. They reach out to the state sends leads. And so we're responding to the leads. So those are kind of what I would call more reactive site leads that we have. We're all over those. And, you know, at any given time, we're probably talking to one or two prospects. I would say second is, you know, we want to be a little bit more aggressive on making sure the city's website has a robust amount of information so that if someone is just Googling us, you know, a lot of times in economic development, you're eliminated before they ever call you. And so, you know, sometimes that's just statistics. They might find something in the census and, you know, really they might start with, you know, 10,000 properties and they just want to eliminate as many as possible. So we want to make sure that we're not getting eliminated on things like that. So that's one piece. The second, you know, your second question about the residents. So we're, I would say, at the beginning stages of that. Actually, earlier today, I was over at the chamber and we have with that community brand, there's a group of us that have been meeting, creating a community video that is talking about Richland County, all that we have to offer here. And then that should be done sometime this spring. And then what we want to do is some really targeted Google ads. So go taking that video and using it in Columbus, in Cleveland, in places where people are probably sick of a commute. They're ready to have a nice quality of life at a reasonable price with some lands probably, instead of being, you know, kind of shoved in so tight as you do tend to get in the bigger cities. So I think that's the next phase of that piece is really taking it to them and kind of, I mean, it's amazing now with Google, you can do almost anything to get in front of people. And I did a little bit of that during the campaign. And so I know how effective it was.
It worked, baby. It worked.
It seems to have.
Yes. Okay. Love that plan. Love those plans there. You know what? You need to go ahead and have us list those properties for you. And we can put them on LoopNet. We can put them on Crexy. I mean, if we don't have them on there,
right. They
need to be on.
Right.
You know this, the world's leading commercial real estate websites. It would only help drive exposure for those properties. So just a thought.
Yeah. I think a lot of them should be on LoopNet, but I should ask the team to take a look at it. So for sure.
Yep. I know a couple guys that could help you out.
I do too. I do too.
A fellow purpose of this podcast, by the way, but it just came up. Right. So I have to
ask. Be selling, right?
Yeah. Let's see. And going back to a couple more things about the city, and then we're just going to jump into your story personally. And you mentioned the parks, but what are some of the main infrastructure issues?
So definitely parks. Parks is probably the one that I've heard the most about, other than people complaining about the roads. That's another thing although I'm from upstate New York. My brother lives in the state up north, and I'm just going to tell you, compared to those places, our roads are really, really good. But I understand, you know, we've got some places that need some help on that. But the parks, for sure, you know, during fiscal emergency, you know, the city closed the parks department entirely for 8 years. 8 years. It was maintained by volunteers, you know, and so, they have been working for the last decade to just try to catch up. And so, you know, Louis Andrus is my new public works director. His background is all in parks. And so he really is working with our parks crew to clean things up, to reinvest in them. You know, we a couple of weeks ago announced a new playground going into Maple Lake Park. That's a great residential neighborhood in the Third Ward. That playground needs replaced. We're working on one for Prospect that I think we'll be taking through the process over here to get approved soon. So that's another great park that needs a little TLC. They're really focusing on just cleaning things up, making sure that we're maintaining it before we, you know, do a lot of adding new amenities and features. But that has been the big piece on parks. And we're already seeing it's great, actually. We've had an outside group come in. They're looking at doing a project at one of our basketball courts. So we'll be announcing that in the next few weeks, which we're excited about. So attracting an outside investment that can kind of come along the taxpayer dollars, I think, is how we'll really move that needle faster. And then I would be remiss if I didn't talk about our utilities, the water lines. Of course, that's a hot topic right now because of the proposed tax initiative that's being driven by citizens. But, you know, the reality is we have a lot of old water mains in the city. We are no different than a lot of other communities. I mean, we're 200 years old. I think it was like 3 years ago, maybe on 3rd Street, the city found a storm sewer that dates back to the 1800s. It was on no map, had no idea it was there. Of course, it wasn't working, which was causing some flooding, and that's kind of how they found it. And so, you know, the city's done a lot to map all that stuff, but there's always surprises that you dig up when you're digging in an area that goes back as far as this does. So, you know, we really want to get all that on a maintenance schedule to make sure that we're starting to replace these water mains, making sure everything is working the way it is. And then, of course, the two treatment plants, which power everything, those are also 70, 80 years old. So, you know, just like anything else, when it's 70 or 80 years old, you got to fix it up. And so we've spent quite a lot of time doing that over the last number of years. So it just, that stuff all adds up. And I think people don't often understand how complicated some of that gets. They all have different funding structure. So that's helpful. So we're not doing everything off the same pot of money. But yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to recap that, pretty much everybody's just going to have to suck it up because our roads aren't quite that bad. Let's take that money and use that to attract more business. We attract more business, that creates more revenue, that attracts more people. Then we can make the roads as pretty and nice and as perfect as you want them to be.
Well, right? It's not quite that easy because our road money is protected. But yes, gotcha. We're trying to prioritize things that isn't protected. You know, we want to use it for sure to grow the area. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't want to take any money away from
you. I don't want people.
I don't want to take away any money.
Right. I don't want calls.
Anybody. Right.
We're reinvesting. I think we've got $4 million of resurfacing happening this year, including down at Longview and 30, which is a terrible intersection right now. So that will help us get through until I think it's 3 or 4 years down the road when it will all get rebuilt. So that's very much needed.
Okay. And one more along the roads subject. The Main Street project,
yes.
$8 million coming to Main Street. Where are we on that?
Yeah, actually, it's more like $14 million, believe it or not. Yeah. So we got a grant from the federal government around, it was like $7.3 million, but a lot of other sources of money. So you will see shovels in the ground in 2025, early 2025, stretching into the beginning of 2026. We are doing it in such a way, we're kind of going through that planning right now. But for the most part, Main Street will be open during the whole construction. So that's, you know, going to extend our timeline a little bit. But we know businesses need to have access, customers need access, and we really want to make sure that we are respectful of that. We're kind of planning of doing a lot of marketing during that time to really keep people coming downtown. We don't want them to flee. But when it's all done, it's going to be beautiful. Everything from Main Street kind of over the hill is going to be completely rebuilt in the public right away. New water lines, new streets, new sidewalks, new lights, new benches, all of the things. And we think that's going to be a much better front door to the community than what they see now, where things are heaving, where we've got broken sidewalks in some cases. You know, we're not putting our best foot forward. And this is the county seat. So a lot of people come through here.
Absolutely.
And the best Absolutely. Part about the project is it's $14 million, but less than $2 million is coming from local taxpayers. So We got a lot of grants from different levels of government, which is awesome. That kind of leverage is what we want to do with other projects.
Yes, we call that OPM, right, JP?
OPM, baby.
What?
Other people's money. Other people's money. Very good. Okay, so, JP.
Yeah, so we talked about some things that are going on in the city, amazing stuff and very exciting things, I think, especially for Mansfield. We can feel it. We're downtown every day. We can feel the excitement that's being built up. But we want to talk about Jody Perry, mayor. How did she get here? What did she do? Where did she come from? So Jody, tell us a little bit about that. I know you mentioned that you were from New York. So tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming mayor of Mansfield and how maybe a kid that was looking to do the same, what that trajectory looks like for him.
So, yeah. So for those that don't know, I'm from upstate New York, Rochester, New York, originally. I was raised in a family of small business owners. So small business is near and dear to my heart. My parents owned John Deere tractor dealerships. My grandfather had a restaurant. And I grew up working in both places and just expected to, you know, contribute. That was kind of our family thing. And I think I learned a good work ethic from that, I will say. I maybe didn't always appreciate that as a kid, but I certainly do now. So I originally came out to Ohio, though, to go to college. I went to Ashton University, so just up the street. Was a political science and religion major and a history minor. So I always say that was like everything you're not supposed to talk about at the dinner table. That's what I learned. But Ashton was a great experience. I really loved it. Met lifelong friends that I still am in touch with. In fact, that was a big factor in me moving back 10 years ago. And, you know, did a few things and then kind of accidentally landed in the chamber in my mid-20s. And I found that it was a good mix of that business background that I had, a little bit of politics, and a little bit of kind of making the world a better place. And so that's really something that's near and dear to my heart. So I worked at the Ashland Chamber. I went over the end of Route 30 and ran the Van Wert Chamber. Then I went home to upstate and ran a suburban chamber in Rochester. And then, you know, that's a little bit like being at the kids' table at Thanksgiving dinner. You're never quite invited with the adults in the suburbs. So I wanted to get back to a county level. And the position in Mansfield and Richland County opened up and I jumped at it. And now I never thought a lot of people are like, oh, did you plan to run for office someday? No. In fact, I would say I almost actively avoided it. I loved being kind of on the private side and, you know, just working where I had a chance to work. But in this job out here, I had a chance to work much more closely with the city. I worked with Mayor Thager on a number of projects, including the Mansfield Rising project, including that Main Street project we just talked about. And I started to see, you know, things that could be different and how I thought, you know, if the city did some of these things, we would be more successful as a community. And so people may or may not know, but in Mansfield, we have term limits. So, you know, Mayor Thager completed his 3 full terms. I knew we were going to have someone new. And, you know, I really was inspired to throw my hat in the ring because I could see what could be different. And, you know, he really took a city that had been in fiscal emergency and kind of steadied it. And now it was time to build. And that's what I love to do. It's what I'm really passionate about. And I thought the timing of that was great. As far as advice I'd give kids, you know, I the best advice I can give is to stay open to opportunities. When I was 18 and heading to college, I had, you know, if you would have told me, hey, you're going to be in your 40s elected as a mayor, I would have laughed. If you would have told me I was going to run chambers of commerce, I would have asked, what the heck is that? Like, I didn't know those things. But in my life, opportunities have continued to present themselves. And of course, I evaluate each one. I don't jump at everything. But some of the best things that have happened to me have been things that were not in my life plan. And so I think that's a really valuable lesson to learn. And the other thing I would tell them is, you know, don't be afraid to call and ask questions. So, you know, stuff that I thought I wanted to do when I was 16, I did some internships and I was like, oh yeah, no, that's not what I want to do. And it's more valuable, just as valuable actually, to rule things out as to say, oh, this is exactly what I want to do. So reach out and don't be shy.
Love that. Love that. Well, it's interesting to hear a little bit about your story as well, Jody, and where it came from and how you got to where you are. But I love those two tips of advice that you gave. Always be open to opportunities, because I'm the same way. Even though I have people, you know, certain aspects of my line of work that I work with, you know, and so on and so forth, I'm always open to a conversation and a kind of opportunity and seeing what other things are available. And as well, like you said, reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
You think it seems, and I just made a video recently on this, it seems, especially when you have somebody in your local area that's having some success, it seems like they're so far away you know, it's tough to connect with them. But I'm telling you, a lot of these folks, they want to help. They're almost in, they love when somebody asks them about their job, because they're like, yeah, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So I love those two pieces of advice as well.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I'm hoping to do is to engage youth. I know one of our former mayors, Mayor Lydia Reed, very popular, you know, she had a really active youth council that, you know, engaged high school students in the city. And so I'm hoping to bring that back at some point in the near future, because I think it's really valuable to have their voices at the table, to hear from them, and as well as give them kind of a look behind the scenes of, you know, what does go all into running a city. And, you know, some of them probably would be great future employees. So I think that would be a great opportunity that I hope at some point to get going again.
Love it.
Great idea. Okay, so now we're going to move into the huge four section of the program, which is the huge four questions.
Okay.
And then we're going to hit you with the rapid fire round. Really, you're going to come off the top of your head with the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
And we're really going to get to know Jody Perry.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, are you ready for the huge four, baby? Ooh, yeah.
Now, I will say you pretty much answered the first one already, so I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go right to number two. What was your biggest failure and what have you learned from it?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know that I failed at a lot of things, so don't misunderstand me. There's not one particular thing that's coming to mind other than, you know, maybe missing job opportunities. Like I didn't get picked for something. There was a couple things, you know, like that in college. And, you know, what I've really learned when I've been rejected for things or, you know, people say, hey, you're not the right fit, is first of all, I've never regretted throwing my hat in the ring, even if I'm not ultimately selected, because it keeps you active. You know, even if you're just interviewing and it goes nowhere, you know, that's just keeping you active. And it also, you know, a lot of times, in fact, I would almost say every instance that I'm thinking of right now, I would not be sitting here if those things had come to fruition. So, you know, I do believe that, you know, things worked out for the best, though, you know, I'm not going to say it wasn't painful in the process. And, you know, I also think don't be afraid of failure. I mean, you know, again, in this role, everyone is not going to like everything I do. And, you know, I want to listen to people, of course, but also just kind of stay true to what I think people have me to do. So, but I'm sure there'll be failures along the way.
Oh, yeah. Don't be afraid of failure.
That's
right. I love it.
Wise word. What are the best resources that have helped you along the way?
You know, I think of two things. First is professional development. So whatever profession you're in, I am all in on being involved in it. So in the chamber world, I went to conferences, I networked with fellow chamber leaders, and oh my gosh, I learned so much from that. You don't have to learn things. I mean, sometimes we have to learn things the hard way, right? That's where those failures come in. But you know, why make yourself do that when someone else can help you? And so I think that's, you know, one of the best pieces of advice I could give someone. And the second thing is just network. People underestimate the value of connecting with others. And, you know, of course, I sound like a chamber advocate right now, and I totally am, because I have watched people build their business through networking. I have watched people improve their community through networking. I've watched people just improve their life. You know, it's not just about handing out business cards, but really making connections. And again, that leads you down to, you can have great conversations and learn from peers. so that you don't have to do everything the hard way and reinvent the wheel, as they say. So, you know, that's some of the best places that I've learned over the years. Yes, I love my college too, but those are probably the more impactful things on my life.
Love it. Love it. No matter what industry you're in, mentors, learning from your mistakes. I mean, these things are, they move to every industry and every avenue of life if you utilize them correctly.
Yep.
Your network is your net worth.
That's true.
We use that one all the time on the Dream Huge podcast.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, and it's one thing to preach about it and talk about it, but it's another thing to do it. Mm-hmm. And you are out there doing it, Jody Perry, you know, and that's what I love about it. But, and then the more you do it, the more others around you do it. And it just grows from there. So yeah, awesome job with that. Okay, what are two books that have inspired your success?
So I think of, I read this a million years ago, but Good to Great, that, you know, it's an old book at this point or older, but I think that the things in it are still very true. First, you have to, they call it the BHAG, the big, hairy, audacious goal, but you should always have some sort of goal that is pushing you. That's like way out there. And I also love the concept of good is the enemy of great. So, you know, things can be good enough. That's mediocrity, but you really want to strive for going beyond that. And you're not going to hit it in everything. You won't hit it at all times. And, you know, so you do have to learn where to accept that. But I, you know, that really changed my thinking early on in my career, I would say. And probably the other one is a text that we use in Leadership Unlimited, shout out again to the chamber, called The Leadership Challenge by Kuzes and Posner. And it's not the most exciting read, I'm not going to lie, but they have five leadership practices in there that have been really impactful of, you know, everything from challenge the process, model the way, encourage the heart. I'm going to forget the other two off the top of my head. But again, you know, a well-rounded leader is going to do all of those things. And to really, you know, the notion of flexing when you need to flex in one of those areas, you don't always have to challenge the process. Sometimes what you need is to encourage people or encourage a project, mm-hmm. but you always should be modeling the way as a leader. You know, you always should be acting in a way that aligns with your own integrity and in what you're expecting of the people that are working with you. And so that, you know, whether you read the whole book or not, you can get those five practices and kind of get the Cliff's Notes of it. And it's really helpful explained in regular language. So I love to read, but I admit I read a lot more fiction than nonfiction. But those are two that, you know, I would say I still think of them on an active basis.
Love it.
Good to Great and The Leadership Challenge. Very good. Okay, are you ready for the rapid fire round?
As ready as I can get.
All right, let's get started.
Go ahead, JP.
What is your spirit animal?
Probably a dog. Faithful friends, constant companion, and yeah, I love my dog too. So I'm partial to that, but yeah, that's how I would say.
Love it. That's a podcast first, I think, Pete.
Yeah, we have a head dog. Yeah, what kind of dog?
We're part people too, so it's not always the warm fizzy, but
Jody the pit bull, baby.
Don't underestimate me.
That's right.
Love it.
What is your favorite movie?
Ooh, probably Lord of the Rings. I love the Lord of the Rings series or Harry Potter. So I'm a bit of a nerd. So those are some of my favorite movies. Yeah. I rewatched
them. You used to use some Harry Potter references back at the chamber, if I recall.
I did during COVID days. Yes. I quoted a fair amount of Tolkien and J.K. Rowling. And so, yeah, everyone learned I was a nerd at that point in time. And I'm okay with it. You got to be who you are.
Sorry, JP's a nerd too.
Yeah. Yeah, Pete, Pete makes fun of me, okay? Listen, Jody. I just, for the first time this last year, watched the entire series, Harry Potter movie series, okay? And I'm crazy about it.
Yeah.
I freaking love Harry Potter now.
It,
and I came into,
yeah.
I've been trying to inspire Pete. I'm like, Pete, you got to watch it, dude. It's so good. You have to watch it. It's so good. And he makes fun of me.
Well, see, I'm a nerd too, but I'm a little bit older nerd. I'm a Star Wars nerd.
Well, so. He likes Star Wars too, so I can jam with you on that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Maybe I'll give it a try one of these days. All right. What is your favorite food?
Pizza. Honestly, I just love pizza. I can eat it too much probably, but.
Yeah. Shout out to a favorite.
You know. No, I better not do a favorite. Any local pizza is my favorite. How's that for a
correct answer? Ding, ding, ding.
I'll hit these next two since Pete keeps taking my questions here. What do you do? What do you do in your spare time, Jody?
So I work, but no, you know what? Probably I read. And I love to travel. So I think those are two big things about me. I have been all over the world and all over the country. I love traveling. It keeps me inspired. And it's cool, really cool to see how other people do things. So that is something that keeps me going and energized. And I can't do it as often as I want. But sometimes it's just like popping over to, you know, a community or a county, a few counties away, just to see something new. I like to see new things.
Love it. Love it. Do you have a favorite place that you've traveled, like out of state, out of country?
Yeah, everyone always asks that. I would say top two probably for me have been Scotland. I loved Scotland. It was amazing. And then last summer, I got a chance to go to the Alps, Switzerland and the French Alps. And that was just beautiful. I loved it. I'd love to go back.
Yeah, amazing. If you could have dinner with anyone, alive or dead, who would it be and why?
Honestly, I think my answer would be Winston Churchill. I'm a big Churchill fan. He has some flaws. Who among us is perfect? And he's got some big ones. But what an incredible leader he was at a point in time when the world needed him. And I would love to ask him a lot of questions about, because I don't know anybody who just can just do that. So there was a lot that led into it. But if you think about, the free world, I don't want to diminish the American contribution, of course. But, when the Nazis were on the doorstep of England, had they not rallied under his leadership, it would be a lot different. And so, I just think that's amazing what he did. And he did it mostly with words, which, again, is really inspiring. I mean, he led in a lot of ways, but I'd love to pick his brain. And he's got the greatest quotes, too. So
awesome.
Very good. Okay, is my turn, JP?
Yes.
Okay. What is your go-to karaoke song?
Well, I try to avoid it if I can, but the few times I've done it, I would say Love Shack by the B-52s is a really fun one.
See your painted sign.
There you go.
Yeah, we give us some. We got some out of her, JP.
Yep, hey, it's fun.
We don't get every guest to karaoke with us.
Nice.
So
you just never know what you're going to get.
All right. We got two more here for you, Jody. What is something that you fear?
I feel like there's probably a lot of things. Well, I hate snakes and I'm scared of snakes. So that's one thing. And that's probably, public humiliation maybe is the other one. But so I'm in the right line of business for that, right? You got to fix your fears. So... Yes.
Now you need a pet snake in the office.
Right.
You get used to it. Okay. Finally, what is your greatest accomplishment?
That's a good question. I think honestly, the thing that I'm most proud of is my friends and the relationships that I've built. I think that those things will stand a lot longer than any, I'm super proud of some work things that I've done for sure. I've gotten awards or whatever, but I think the fact that I treat people, respectfully and I got lots that I got to learn and work on. I'm by no means perfect, but the fact that, I have really, really great friends who will do a lot to support me. That's what I'm most proud of.
Love that.
That's a great answer. You know, we have a guy that we follow, was on the podcast, Ricky Carruth, and his tagline is relationships over transactions. And it's so true.
So true.
You put the relationships first, you build the relationships, the transactions come, yep. The business comes. You just truly have a servant's heart, I think, Jody. And I can already tell that you have great relationships in the community, and that's how you're continuing to grow and succeed. So great stuff right there. We're wrapping it up here. So thank you so much for your time today. Any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
You know, the only thing I would add is, you know, I would be remiss. I talk a lot about the Team Mansfield concept, but you know, I would ask anyone who's listening to this, you know, how can you help make our community better? Because at the end of the day, I am one person, you guys are two people, but we really need everyone contributing. And that, you know, that can be in large and small ways. But, you know, if we're really going to capitalize on the opportunities that we have to revitalize this community, it's going to take everyone. So my challenge to the community is, how are you going to help us do that?
Yeah, love it. And I tell you what, a few things I want to touch on real quick. Mm-hmm. I do pick up beer cans in the parking lot about every day. Throw those away. Yes. Can't help it. How many times can you want? It's been smashed down like 25 times. I'm like, how many people have walked by this? Anyways, I pick those up. I don't want any credit for it, but I do that and I love doing it. And we are starting an after school weight training program at the Friendly House.
Cool.
It's going to be workout Wednesdays. They have a latchkey program down there. So Big Jim and I are over at Middle Ohio Youth Mentoring, Jim Nicholson.
Yes.
We're putting that together and I'm super excited to do that. So that's something that we can say that we're doing for the city.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's what we need. We need people that are taking what they're passionate about, what they're good at, and giving back in some way. So thanks for investing in the community.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. Thank you. All right. How can folks contact or follow you, Jody?
So phone number at the city is 419-755-9626. My email address is jperry@ci.mansfield.oh.us. Does not roll off the tongue. We're going to have to work on that URL. And, you know, I did start a Mayor Jody Perry Facebook page. So that's a great way. Give that a follow. The City of Mansfield's Facebook page. That's me running that now. So if you get an answer, it's coming from me at this point. So, you know, follow both of those if you want to stay involved and up to speed on, you know, what's happening in the city. I'm really trying to use those outlets to get the word out.
Very good. Excellent. JP, final thoughts?
Not a ton. I mean, really, thank you, Jody, just for coming on. It's not every day that we get to speak with our mayor, talk about some great things that are going on in our city, and also learn a little bit about you. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, and I hope a lot of the listeners out there get as much benefit and value from this as we did. So thank you a ton.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I'd love to come back and give you updates.
Yes, all right. Put her down for that. We're going to keep you to that. Everybody, thank you for listening to the Dream Huge Podcast with JP, John Pavlansky, myself, Pete Peterson, producer Mark Gray. Please remember to review, subscribe, and share. And as always, remember the rules. Work hard, never give up, and dream huge, baby. Dream huge. Let's see the guns, Jody. Yes. Thank you so much. Jody Perry, Mayor of Mansfield, Ohio. Sunny Mansfield.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. For more inspiring content, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Dream Huge Realty and on TikTok at Dream Huge Inc. Until next time.